The months-long build-up of Russian troops on the border with Ukraine has turned now into an invasion. Ukraine under attack. Military bases, airports and aircraft have been targeted and bombed. The skies over multiple cities, including the capital Kiev, lit up, waking up residents in the early hours of Thursday as Russian artillery advanced.
Not very many could have predicted that he would be striking at so many multiple targets.
The civilian casualties are unknown, though Russia says it will only attack military posts. As a response, Ukraine has declared martial law.
I had a conversation with US President Joe Biden. The US is starting to gather international support. Today we need you, each of you, to be calm. If possible, stay at home, please. We are working. The army is working. The entire security and defense sector of Ukraine is working.
These attacks come after Russian President Vladimir Putin declared two separatist areas in the Donbas region in eastern Ukraine as independent and said Russian civilians who live there need protection. The battle for Luhansk and Donetsk in eastern Ukraine has been going on since 2014, with more than 14,000 people killed in fighting between Russian-backed separatists and the Ukrainian army. Now Putin has demanded Ukrainian forces retreat.
Whoever would try to stop us and further create threats to our country, to our people, should know that Russia's response will be immediate and lead you to such consequences that you have never faced in your history. We are ready for any outcome.
The operation began despite last-ditch appeals from members of the UN Security Council to ease tension. Ukraine's ambassador to the UN demanded his Russian counterpart step down as chairman.
Call Putin, call Lavrov to stop aggression. There is no purgatory for war criminals. They go straight to hell, ambassador.
In a statement, US President Joe Biden warned of a catastrophic loss of life and human suffering. There's a mood of desperation developing now. Many people just jumping into their cars, getting their families together and heading on the road, trying to get to Poland. But the main auto routes are all jammed. There are so many people trying to do the same thing. Others are going underground, taking shelter. The missiles are getting closer now. Emergency meetings have been called to reach an agreement, while the shelling and build-up of military troops on both sides continues. This is Ukraine's darkest day. Andrew Simmons, Al Jazeera, Kiev.
Right, let's start talking to our teams on the ground. First, it's Hoda Abdelhamid. She is in Kramatorsk in eastern Ukraine. Tell us about what you've been seeing and hearing, Hoda.
Well, certainly there is a bit of panic among people. Actually, while I was standing here waiting to talk to you, one woman came up to me asking me why I was wearing this gear and that we were actually frightening people even more by our presence in the city. Another one came up to me, showed me her credit card and said there is no more money in the cash machine. There are no dollars, there are no hryvnias, which is a local currency. And she did look, if you looked at her eyes, she did look quite panicked. But the city is calm. Since these morning explosions, the pre-dawn explosions, we haven't heard anything since. However, I'm just going to get out of the shot. You can see all the shops are completely shut down. Businesses, restaurants, everything is shut down. There are people on the street, but this would be a busier time normally, simply because we are actually in the city center of Kramatorsk. So people are following the news. People are worried. The bus station that connects the different region is now closed. The train is also working sporadically. So people's only choice is to try to get into their car and go somewhere, even though, as I said again, danger is still not here. But they are following what's happening at the front line. It's about 90 kilometers away from here. And in certain points, and not many, but we believe the pro-Russian separatists have managed to break through that front line and advance. Certainly we know that in one point along that front line, and we are hearing other reports of that, but we cannot confirm them at the moment because the situation is fluid. There are a lot of rumors and counter rumors, but certainly people are beginning to realize what's happening. It's sinking in, and panic is beginning to set, really.
Hoda, stay there for a sec if you can. The team's just telling me about some new pictures we've just gotten in. Can we roll those pictures, guys? Russian tanks apparently coming into Luhansk. So, yeah, sorry, I'm just running through a few different things here. OK, there you got the tank there. I was waiting for it to come through. OK, so that is a definitive sign of Russian tanks. I also just want to... Can we take those, show those pictures as well of the Russian president just now, just really quickly? Just noticing this on some of my screens here. That's the Prime Minister of Pakistan, Imran Khan, who's visiting with Vladimir Putin as well. Not live pictures. This has just come in a moment ago. So Vladimir Putin taking a foreign minister, a prime minister in for a visit as well on the day that he has ordered a military operation in a neighbouring country. Lots happening there. Sorry, I just wanted to get to all of those pictures. Hoda Abdelhamid as well with us from Kramatorsk. Tell us, I saw one of your reports earlier as well, Hoda, from one of the supermarkets, wasn't it? Which is, well, the shelves rapidly becoming quite bare.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, I think what happened is that people were quite blasé about it all. You know, over the past few weeks, we've been going around this eastern side, and many had brushed away the idea of an invasion. Even as far as Kiev, people had brushed out the idea of an invasion. And then sort of the rhetoric ramped up and the threats ramped up, but they still stayed quite a blasé, especially in this part of the country. Now, you have to understand that these cities are quite divided, are quite mixed. You do have, the Russia does have a lot of support in many of these cities. Some of them, it's a 50-50, other ones could be overwhelmingly pro-Russian. And that's what makes it so difficult for the Ukrainian soldiers at the front line. So people did not make their preparations. People did not really believe that all that would happen. And people sort of, those who do support Russia, do feel safe that if they indeed come here, well, then nothing would happen to them. But then comes the reality, then comes the explosions, then comes the sounds, then comes the pictures, and that starts to frighten people, whatever side they sit on. And I think that's what's been happening here in the city, because I remember around 8, 9 o'clock, we were going live. I was looking around. People were going to their office. They seemed to be going about their normal day. Well, it looks very different at this point in town, time. Now there's barely any queue at the ATM simply because there's no more cash there, and the streets are empty, and the businesses apart from the supermarkets and maybe a few kiosks are completely shut down. Put that all together, happening not only in Kramatorsk, but in several towns and cities around the eastern Ukraine, and that increases the anxiety among people, the uncertainty of what could happen.
What an extraordinary time it is. Thank you, Hoda Abdelhamid, Kramatorsk, eastern Ukraine. Now to one of our other team, and this is Charles Stratford, who is in Mariupol, the port city there. He's been reporting from on the ground. The explosions heard there in that key port city. Have a look at his report.
We've heard loud bangs of explosions, and interestingly, it's the first time so far today where we've heard that distinctive sound of Grad rockets being used. It's a rapid fire thudding. These are rockets that land in rapid succession and are highly dangerous. The sort of rockets that we saw being used during the 2014-2015 war between the separatists and the Ukrainians. Now I'm going to flip the camera around. I don't know whether you're going to be able to see this, but across the field there you may be able to see smoke rising. I suppose from me it's about, I don't know, quarter of a kilometre away or so. We understand that that is a military installation. that has been hit. Smoke has been billowing from it for about the last hour and a half or so. There's more smoke coming out from what we understand are military installations beyond that, I suppose about another half a kilometre or so. And here's the sign. And the reason why I'm showing this sign is because it's of significance. The top word you see there, the town is Melitopol. And we've been talking earlier today about what analysts say could be an attempt by Russian forces to create a corridor from the Donbass region, the eastern areas held by the separatists, to Crimea.
OK, that is Ukraine covered off with two correspondents there. Let's flip over to Moscow and bring in Dorsa Jabari, our correspondent there. Is that what we're going to do? Yep, let's talk to Dorsa. Hi, Dorsa. So I'd like you to tell us about what the Russians have been saying separately to the message for the Ukrainian military and the messages to the Ukrainian people.
Well, Kamal, we've just been hearing from the Kremlin spokesperson, Dmitry Peskov, who a few minutes ago said that the goal is to neutralize the military potential of Kiev. That is officially what Russia is trying to do at the moment. And he went on to say that the Kremlin is not excluding the possibility of negotiations between Putin and Zelensky if Ukraine is ready to talk about Moscow security concerns, and that the possible about the accusations that Russia is looking for a possible regime change in Ukraine. And he said that this is a question for of choice for of the Ukrainian people. I think this comes at a time when there's been a lot of accusations thrown at the government here that they're trying to overthrow the officials in Kiev, who they have accused of being weak in the past. The President Vladimir Putin had said that the Ukrainian president is a puppet of the West, and that is why that this their country is in such a state. They are not basically in charge. They're not representing the entire population. In terms of the message out of here for the Ukrainian people, the Russian Defense Ministry has said that they are targeting military installations in Ukraine. They are not targeting civilians. The officials have said that they are not causing alarm. They don't want to cause alarm to the general population of Ukraine. Of course, it's going to be very difficult because some of those military installations that we've seen already are in heavily populated areas in cities in Ukraine. So we just have to wait and see how this unfolds in the coming hours. We expect Vladimir Putin, who's currently meeting with the Prime Minister of Pakistan, who arrived in Moscow late last night, to speak to the media following that meeting probably in the next few hours, and we'll see what he has to say, since he broadcast that message early at 6 a.m. Moscow time, making the announcement that Russia was going into Ukraine to assist with the separatists in the eastern part of Ukraine who were fighting with the Ukraine military.
Was that a I'm guessing that was a pre-planned visit by Imran Khan, because it seems an odd time to be accepting a visit from a world leader when you're basically just gone to war.
Absolutely. This was on the calendar for Vladimir Putin from about a week ago or so. And we saw footage of Imran Khan landing in Moscow, where he was greeted by officials. And he said that it's quite an exciting time to be in Moscow, obviously not realizing what was to come in the few hours after that statement. But we also have, I also have to mention that the there have been a number of flights that have been canceled. Certain areas of Russia's airspace have been closed off to civilian flights as a result of the ongoing operations they're carrying out in Ukraine. And they've said that they are closing certain portions of the airspace in the country until March 2nd. So I think this will be certainly the last high-ranking official who will be visiting Vladimir Putin for the foreseeable future.
Cool. Thanks, Dorsa. Talk to you again soon.
40 seconds only.
Plenty of condemnation out there today. We'll start with this from the European Union Foreign Policy Chief Joseph Borrell, who's spoken alongside the EU Commission President Ursula von der Leyen there in Brussels.
These are among the darkest hours for Europe since the end of World War II. A major nuclear power has attacked a neighbour country and is threatening reprisals of any other states that may come to its rescue. This is not only the greatest violation of international law, it's a violation of the basic principles of human coexistence. It's costing many lives with unknown consequences ahead of us.
Later today, we will present a package of massive and targeted sanctions to European leaders for approval. With this package, we will target strategic sectors of the Russian economy by blocking their access to technologies and markets that are key for Russia. We will weaken Russia's economic base and its capacity to modernize. And in addition, we will freeze Russian assets in the European Union and stop the access of Russian banks to European financial markets.